Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
About 2 years ago, we moved the coffee house to the front of the complex. So if you're familiar with Star Village Commons up here by the movie theater and the Star Bank, we brought the coffee house from the back of the complex to the front of the complex, and that left us with a smaller square footage of space. So we could really only fit about 30 people in there for church, which at the time our church was about 35 to 50. So we knew we would have to add a service. So we added a service in the evening. But then that service grew. So we ended up with 60 people in two different services, which became too many again. And at just the right time, this is the way the Holy Spirit works in the church, and he connects us. Just the right time, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church up 199 in Azle, across from the new Legacy Oaks Senior Living Center. They called and said, our pastor's gone, our average age is 74, and we're probably not going to be able to afford a new pastor. But if you'd come here and bring all of your young adults, the average age of the Edge people was about 26. So they said, if you'd bring all your young adults and we have the senior citizen side covered, then we think we would make a good team. So 18 months ago, we started that. The Lutheran Church Texas District asked me to do that, and I said we'd give it 2 years. And so we're at the end of 2019 will be the end of our second year. And I think what's going to happen is I think that Good Shepherd is going to become the Edge. And then we'll continue in the Lutheran Church, but it'll just be called Edge Church. And so we'll have Edge Church there and Edge Coffee House Ministry in Lake Worth, and we'll move forward from there. And it has been a wonderful ride. I've enjoyed so much the Lake Worth community. I know you guys probably don't all live in Lake Worth, but I have just enjoyed being a part of this neighborhood, so to speak, of Fort Worth, where I think people are real and honest and kind of salt of the earth kind of people, and those are my kind of people. So that's why I've enjoyed doing coffee and ministry right here in Lake Worth. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to share a scripture with you, and then I want to tell you a couple of stories from life and how they apply. And I chose this text because I believe that there's one part of the Christian life that all of us long to experience. And that is overcoming the world. No matter what stage in life you're in, whether I'm talking to young adults at the coffee shop or our senior citizen community in Azle, I can talk about overcoming, and we can find ways that in your life that you desire to overcome the world and what's happening, just like young adults do. So I chose this text out of John chapter 16. And I'm going to start reading at verse 23, and I'm just going to go through verse 33. And I'll read the whole text for us, and then we'll talk. In that day, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. That is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own house, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now that text is worth reading just for that last line, isn't it? You think about that text of Jesus speaking his most personal thoughts and desires to his disciples. He sums it up by, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." Yeah. So I've had several opportunities in life to watch God work and to see his overcoming power expressed in the world. And I'm going to go back to prior to us getting to Texas. I was a Christian recording artist and actor in Nashville, Tennessee, prior to going to seminary. And during that time, and that sounds like a glamorous thing, I promise you it was not. It was a lot of hard work. There was a lot of traveling, and there was a lot of working for people that I didn't want to work for. And even though I know it, the recording artist part, there was a lot of studios and a lot of fun times and a lot of autographs and a lot of CDs and things, movies and things like that. It was also very difficult, even in the Christian music industry, to find God. And that sounds horrible, but that is the truth. The truth of the matter is I worked in Christian music for 8 years specifically, and I also worked in Christian film and video and found many opportunities to stray, even in the midst of believers. So anyway, I'm in that business. I have three children. We live in Nashville, and I'm traveling a lot. At times, I was on the road in music for 3 weeks at a time away from my family. I had little kids at the time. My kids are all grown up now, but I had little kids at the time. And I can remember, like it was yesterday, I'm in Denver, Colorado, wrapping up a tour, and I'm about to head home to Nashville. And I called my wife on the phone, and I said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm at the end of my ability to be away from my family and be happy. And I'm supposed to be leading worship, guest worship leading at churches. I'm guest speaking at camps. I'm a part of this great big ministry wheel that is supposed to be happy and doing things for Jesus and watching Jesus come alive in the hearts and minds of people. And I'm angry. I'm sad, frustrated with life. Feel like God has abandoned the ministry potential that I thought I had when I began. I just need to come home and be done with this." The world would say that I should use my gifts to go make lots of money, playing the guitar and writing songs and secular music and etc. My wife said, "I think Jesus has more for you than what you're realizing right now. Why don't you spend a period of time off the road? We have some savings. You can just stay at home and love on your family and be a dad." I saw somebody pull into the coffee shop the other day with a ministry called Strong Fathers. Have you ever heard of that ministry? Strong Fathers on the side of this truck. And I had a wonderful conversation with the gentleman. But in that time in my life, I was not a strong father. I was out in the world being preaching and leading worship, but I was not a strong father because I was an absent father. I was traveling on the road all the time. So I got home and dedicated to being a strong father, dedicated to building a stronger family. And Becky and I prayed, "Lord, give me something. I need to make a living somehow." And the thought came to Becky's mind, there's a movie coming to town. I had done some small acting bits, tiny little acting things that didn't pay much at all. And my wife said, "You know, there's a movie coming to town that's being filmed in Nashville. It's a secular movie. You could go be the light of Christ on a Hollywood movie set right here in Nashville if you get a role. Why don't you go audition for it?" So I said, "All right, if you'll let me go back to acting, I would do that." And I went to the audition. It was a horrible day, hot outside. I had my two boys. She had to work. So I had two boys in strollers. I've got two strollers. And I'm thinking, how am I going to go to this audition? I've got to watch my kids. And the line is four blocks long for this audition. And I'm headed to the end of the line, and the side stage door opens, and a lady looks out, and I know her. She says, "Hey, Steve." And I said, "Hey." And she goes, her name was Amanda. "Hey, Amanda." And she says, "Hey, are you here to audition for this?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Come here. Just come in right here." And so I went in the door. She closed the door. And she said, are these your kids? Oh, they're so cute. And she's holding the boys. And she says, so you got to watch the boys while you're auditioning? And I said, yeah. And she said, you know what? Go audition. I'll give the boys a donut, and we'll sit in the green room here, and I'll just hang on to them. You go do your audition. So I got first in line, did the audition, finished. In 15 minutes, I was done. And I went home. And I thought, God is good. He's got a plan. He's overcoming the fear that I had about a lot. And that's happening. And so I get a call. And they say, we're interested in you. And unfortunately, it's not going to be an immediate role. But what we would like to do is we'd like to bring you on board as an extra. We'll pay you a good extra rate, day rate. And we've got lines for you later in the movie. We'd like you to say those lines, but you'll be an extra for most of the movie till the very end. So I said, okay. So I did it. And it was a big picture. I found myself every day finding ways to share the gospel via relationship. That's really why Coffee House works for me, because I share the gospel through a long process of relationship building. So I had the opportunity to build relationships with people that both Hollywood people that were in Nashville for that period of time, but also people who lived in Nashville who were just doing what I was doing and working. The movie was a Robert Redford film, so I got to meet Robert Redford, got to share the gospel with Robert Redford. He's a baseball fanatic, so I got to play catch with Robert Redford, which was a wonderful thing. He'd have a baseball glove, two baseball gloves. It was a prison film, so we were all in prison. And we had these blocks of stone in the prison yard, and he would shove his baseball gloves into that during the shoot. And then we'd film. And then there's a good, usually 30 minutes sometimes between setting a new shot. And he'd get out the glove and toss you the glove. And we'd sit and play catch with the baseball while we were, he's a lefty. So he'd play catch with the baseball like that. So I got to know Robert Redford. I got to know Mark Ruffalo from the Avengers, you know, movie, a popular guy. There's a number of actors who were in that movie that I got to share the gospel with. My lines came on a day when Bob Redford was off, so he was not working that day. And my lines were, I didn't know what my lines were going to be at the very beginning, but I'd been sharing the gospel with people the whole movie shoot. And then I found out my lines. My character is one of Robert Redford, his character, one of his cronies in this prison riot, and my character runs out and gets shot in the head with a rubber bullet. So I didn't actually have to get shot, and I survived the whole thing, so it was okay. But my character gets shot in the head, and I run into the cafeteria where the other prisoners have this infirmary set up, and I scream, and the director says, you're going to run in here, and you're going to say, Doc! My eye, my bleeping eye, my bleeping, 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 bleeping eye. And I thought, oh, man, it's not going to work. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. But never doubt when Jesus says, I've overcome the world, we walk in an overcoming spirit, which means we're true to who he's called us to be, and he handles the details. So the director, who's a very popular director, says that, and I go, his name was Rod. Rod Lurie was his name. I said, boy, Mr. Lurie, I'm going to struggle. I probably can't even say that as an actor without it not coming out right. I wouldn't. And I said, I can be upset. What would you say to me just ad-libbing that line as I come in? And he gave me a couple of choice words and then said, I can get somebody else. And I said, well, like I've been in this picture for 3 months. I worked on it for 3 months prior to that. I've been in this picture, been in that role for 3 months. And I'd hate to see you waste all that. Why don't you let me try it? And So the pressure starts to build as he says, bleepin' fine. And I go to make up and I get the, you know, all the mess, the fake blood and everything put everywhere. I come out of my trailer and Bob Redford shows up with his family and to look at the set, to show them, to walk around and do what he does on a day off. So now I got Robert Redford. I don't know if you know who James Gandolfini is, but James Gandolfini was in that picture as well. James Gandolfini is laughing and joking with Bob Redford. I got two really, it was Last Castle, yeah. I got two really good actors watching, and the pressure is on. And I walked, I did my lines, maybe three or four different angles, five or six different shots, and I had had a conversation with Bob Redford about how this was my first major motion picture, and he had communicated his first major motion picture and the challenges, and you know, you got it easy. My first motion, you know, he had all the things he had to do during his first motion picture. So I had a great conversation with him, and in the midst of all of it, my coworkers who were the extras are all looking at me as if, what's he going to do? Because they heard me say, I can't say what the director wanted me to say. And in the end, I screamed, I yelled, I didn't say bad words. I came in, I did my part, and when it was done, the director says, strike the set, which is basically just we're moving to the next thing. And I look at Bob Redford, and he just gives me a thumbs up. The faithfulness of God is that because he overcomes, I can have peace when I'm walking in his ways. Think about the times in your life. Most of you are in your 70s, 60s, 70s. Matt, or maybe more. Imagine looking, when you look back on your life, you see moments when the faithful moments, when God was faithful to you to prove to you that he overcomes. That overcoming is the longing of our heart as we go about life. And you know, when Jesus, as he says it here, you know, the clear statement when he says, I've said these things to you that you may have peace. The peace we have comes because Jesus went to the cross. Jesus told them, I overcome everything you could come against. I overcome the darkness of this world, the evil of this world. I overcome that. I've already done that. And he goes to the cross and he says, final words, it's finished. Overcome. The world, overcome. Evil, overcome. It's done. That is the blessing we live in today. That's the blessing that allows us today to keep walking in the midst of a world that's trying to tell us, I need you to kowtow to my desire. I need you to say this. I need you to do this. I need you to be this way. But because Jesus overcomes, we can walk upright as a child of God and live and be who God has made us to be. That's not easy, is it? That's why when I say look back on your life, because your life, like my life, is full of moments when I did not walk in that way, as well as moments when I did. But each of those moments, I recognize Jesus has overcome the world. That's what changes life. Our ministry here is full of, especially young adults. Again, the Edge ministry is largely young adults. It's like a young adult ministry for the most part. And I probably have a dozen conversations a week with young adults who need to know that the world they live in might be difficult, it might be evil, everything's not going to be perfect, it's not even always going to be fair. But they serve a God who overcomes. They serve God who overcomes and promises that when we walk in his ways, we walk in his peace. My prayer is that as you walk through life, you realize that you're walking in his peace because of what he's overcome. Because he's overcome sin, death, and the devil through his death on the cross, you are free to walk in the peace that he gives because of that. I don't know if you have discussion. Do you ever do discussions on this? Yeah. So when I conversationally preach most of the time, so I usually say, what do you think? Like, who's had an experience where they've watched that happen? Where they've watched Jesus overcome in their life and bring them peace? Anybody want to share one? I could look at Steve and look at that eye and say, maybe a walking example of overcoming. It was peaceful to know that the margin was clean.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Health things. I always look at those and see. So I have had for a long time this. I've had to wear this support hose, not this particular one, but I wear a support hose for 30 years. Every day I get up and put that on because my veins in that leg do not function, and I oftentimes think, gosh, how easy life would be if I didn't have to put that on every day. But you know, the no sooner when Becky and I were first married, no sooner did I realize that that's just going to be the nature of life for me, that Jesus gave me peace about it. And in spite of the fact that living in Texas, it's brutally hot to wear a Jobe stocking, and some of you probably do as well. It's brutally hot. And in the winter, the thing won't stay up. I have to keep pulling it up. You probably had that experience. Those, right? But even something as simple as that, a health-related thing, to recognize Jesus overcomes brings me peace. Brings me that understanding that, yep, he's got this, and I don't have to have any bitterness about it because I've given it away. Yeah. Correct. That's exactly right. So think about, I think of conquering as an offensive word, not like, oh, that's offensive to me, but like I'm on offense. That when we go out, we're more than conquerors. I view overcoming as more of a, it's not going to get me down, almost a defensive. My posture might be on behalf of me, he has overcome the world. I don't know if that makes sense. But I do think they're closely aligned, though. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
This reminds me of what you were talking about the scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that peace that passes all understanding. And it guards, it protects and guards our hearts. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife Jennifer and I were in a car accident earlier this year.
Okay.
The drunk driver blew the light and drove another car into us. And our car was under control. And it was a comedy of errors, you know, with State Farm dealing with the gap coverage people and all the crazy things. I've gotten wrecked in the car and still owe money on it. You know how much. Try ourselves for our own initiative to do this and that. You look in the Bible, you see very many stories about somebody who tries on his own initiative to do something and messes it up early.
Yeah.
So, all right, God, you got this. This is too big for us.
Isn't it hard to keep your hands off of that once you... In my life, it's been hard to say, you got this, God, and then keep my hands from stepping back in and saying, but you're not doing this right, Lord. This has to go there, and that has to go... Yeah. And that is... You know, but when we recognize that he's overcome, it's not me, it's him. And the peace that I long for, I get when I keep my hands off of the steering wheel, I guess. You know. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes in the midst of a trouble or a challenge, I think it's important to make a prayer declaration that says,
that's good.
Yeah, that time for us in Nashville, our kids were little, like I said, and we were very blessed. I was very blessed to have jobs. I ended up, after that movie, I ended up getting signed by an agent, and I ended up with all the acting work I wanted in Nashville, and I could stay home. So I did music videos, I did commercials, I did... That's where Lifeway Christian Stores, that's where their home office was, that's where Thomas Nelson Publishing was. So I did a lot of Christian videos for those companies. I could work every week. I could do three or four things a week in acting. So I didn't have to tour. So I wrote music. I did session work. I did specific places that I wanted to go travel to. I went back to and did those things. But for the most part, God proved to us that if we'll just keep our hands off of it and I'll just stop trying to overcome the world myself, he can provide the peace. And he did. And that was, you know, we spent another 8 years there, or 7 years there. And God did wonderful things until finally helping us realize, okay, it's time for me to be done with that part. We still get, I get residuals. So residuals are like Paramount Pictures will send me $11. You know, for like somebody rented the last castle in Germany or something. They're, it's on television somewhere. I'll get an $11 check every once in a while for my portion of that. And my wife will go to, she and I will go to dinner. It used to be more than that. When it was a popular movie, it used to be like $150. But now it's just like $11. And we'll take that check and go to McDonald's and get some coffee and, you know, a sandwich or something, or go to Subway and get something. And sit and talk about how God has been faithful, how in that time of our lives with little kids, how he made it possible for me to stay home. So, yeah, amen. Thanks for letting me speak today.